Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamblett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite, House of the Dragon! But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also Red Pay Baby, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0! Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a mega quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflin Sidgwick to look ahead to AEW Dynamite, House of the Dragon! And let's be honest, fingers crossed, Sidge, a major return tonight.
I'm not ready for this. I'm absolutely not ready for this. Kenny Omega's my favourite wrestler. He's my favourite wrestler of all time. I'm going to be anxious as all hell about the physical condition in which he is in. Look, they've leaned so heavily on the idea that it is, in fact, Kenny Omega returning with a kind of a quasi-first dance deal where they've never said it by name, but the implication is very much obvious, so much so that if they do not deliver Kenny Omega, they want to hop on Twitter right now and say, whichever backup plan we have, which is probably a smokescreen for Omega anyway, just bring it forward, just get Omega in. Doesn't matter what storylines are, he needs to be on because everyone's so hyped about his return and expecting him to be the mystery partner of the Young Bucks. Yeah, I'm scared. I've seen various interviews, and obviously he's not going to do an interview in gear on Zoom. He's going to do it in his clothes. Even when he was like a tag team champion, never really dressed for the occasion on TV. It was always a case of, I'm going to be the cleaner one day and I'll wear a fucking suit when I'm goddamn ready for it. And it will, if anything, further neg Hangman Page. I can't be asked to dress up alongside you, but when I'm by myself, mm-hmm. All the rest of it. So he just looked like he was in street clothes. He looked very pale. So he's obviously not going to tan himself. He's not going to wear gear. So you're not going to get the full idea of what Kenny Omega, the returning megastar wrestler, is going to look like. But I'd like to see him shredded a little bit. It's weird. It's just, I should learn to let it play out with a man, Kenny Omega, who has pioneered the idea of telling one long continuous story in pro wrestling. He's not one of these hack carnies. He transcends all that. He doesn't just, I'll turn heel for a program. Oh, I'm not that hot, actually. Yeah, I'll just turn babyface now because I think the fans are asking for it. Oh, I've been babyface for a while. Oh, the fans are getting sick of us. You know what I'll do? Because wrestling's just as stupid and easy. Nah, I'll turn heel. Simple as that. He has totally transcended pro wrestling storytelling as this long, continuous story where everything can be tracked, everything is coherent. I should trust Kenny Omega more than any other wrestler to come back when he's goddamn good and ready. But it's just my anxiety feeding it something. And if he's coming back to do the Trios title, is that because he can't really go anymore at these 40-minute singles matches that he was spectacular at in New Japan? He himself has kind of said, I don't have that in me anymore. I'm going to do a new... I just want him to be great. I don't want to see my favourite wrestler become Shawn Michaels at Crown Jewel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's nowhere near that, but no. I don't want to just see him on the decline. I'm just scared. I love the man. I absolutely love him. Can we just dive balls deep into what's going to happen. I expect this to be the main event. It would be kind of stupid not to be the main event. Because Danielson, Garcia is going to be this incredible match. But I would start the show with that and hammer heavily in the first quarter. The mystery partner for the Young Bucks is going to be revealed. And maybe have Excalibur say, drop some references to the cleaner and some really sort
partners
of...
partners always draw as well, don't they?
Always.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. And yeah, so I expect for this trios match, it to be Kenny Omega. I will leave the alternative plan to Hamflip because I realise I'm talking at length, spluttering because my Omega obsession is just making me do it. I think that it will be Omega. They're not stupid. They will know that everyone thinks it's going to be Omega. So it will be Omega. But if you chart back the recent history of the Elite saga, Kenny Omega said, on the Dynamite after Full Gear, I have some things to take care of. I need to go away for a while. I haven't watched the tape yet because I can't bring myself to do it, or words to that effect. In the meantime, he is going to have watched the tape. He's going to have realized that the Young Bucks tacitly endorsed Paige, or first started to very slowly realize that the path they'd taken as characters and as men was not the right way. In the meantime, very recently, they've obviously asked Hangman Page first. Now, is that because they didn't think Omega was ready, or do they think because Page, having beat Omega, is their best chance at gold? So there's that texture there that's like notorious with this Elite storytelling where you can understand each person, each character's perspective, and it creates these wonderful shades of grey that are antithetical to this pretty cartoonish babyface heel spectrum, which at the very best of the Elite stuff makes all of wrestling pretty stupid and cartoonish and pathetically binary almost. That's how good these guys are at their best. And to further that type of storytelling they've pioneered, I kind of expect Kenny Omega to be pumped up during the entrance and coming out because he can't really act like conflicted or removed from everything that's going on when he makes his return because the pop's going to be so huge. But I expect throughout the match them to show ring rust, a la the very first AEW Young Bucks match where they'd taken those months off for the first time in however many years and they struggled to get on the same page and intentionally botched their way through the opening half of the Lucha Brothers match. I expect them to do something similar to that with Kenny. Kenny throwing the odd mistrustful glance, him being a little bit reluctant to actually physically tag in because he knows that, or he thinks that the Bucks prefer Paige to him. So I expect the storytelling to be textured, for them to not be the fully reformed Elite for all the reasons I've just disclosed. And Kenny Omega is going to make me anxious by making it seem like he's slowed down. He's going to really, I think, I'm sorry, I'm talking for ages here. No, I apologize. I really think he's going to create the impression, which he's probably worked quite a bit on social media and in press interviews, where he's saying, oh, surgery's got delayed. I didn't have a surgery that it's not really repairing itself in time. I had to rehab this one extensively. It's not really working out. He's going to play with that. He is going to torture his dearest fans. And we are going to see, I think, one glimpse of him propelling into someone's face with a V-trigger and making you think, oh my God, the cleaner is actually back. I expect, and I hate this cliche so much, but he will take you on a roller coaster. He absolutely will do that. If he doesn't apply this much thought, and he will, he's Kenny Omega, he's basically going to be mint again, and I'll just take that as well. And they're obviously going to win.
Yep.
Then the post-match celebration is going to be, again, in line with everything I've just said. I expect it to be a little bit reluctant, where the Bucks are like, get in, we've won, we've advanced. And Kenny's going to be like, oh, I'm happy enough, but you know, dickheads, you did choose Paige over me.
It's that layering is so important as well, because as Cedric's pointed out there, if you can get into the heads of all of the members of the Elite individually, find, even if you disagree with them, or you understand how you're supposed to read the characters, you can find their individual rationale. Matt rang Kenny in the Being the Elite bit, and he was doing it as an, are you sure? And
Kenny rang Matt.
Sorry, Kenny rang Matt as if to suggest that he'd seen Hangman Page and been a bit, had his ego bruised a little bit by, hang on, I'm Kenny Omega, you should have called me. But then Matt being like, are you sure? That could be Matt being concerned for his friend that he's not fully fit. Kenny could read that as doubt. And you, both of those are valid.
He did have a laundry list of injuries.
This is it. Like, Matt and Nick not considering Kenny in the first place could be based on that laundry list. And all of this is so great. And all of this is what informs all of those things that Sidgwick sort of like articulately described there, because they all matter. And none of this would exist without that level of detail at every point in the story. Kenny Omega's Wikipedia, outside of him leaving Deep South Wrestling. And even then you could say, well, he left because he just thought wrestling could be better. You could start the story right there. His Wikipedia, even though it's going to be broken up by the chapters of the companies he worked for, should effectively be able to read as one long thread throughout his entire, for end to end. And that's only going to continue here. From a strictly pro wrestling point of view, and much in the same way when we sat in this very studio and talked about how CM Punk's debut might play out, and that kind of, we were still then, like, AEW had only just returned to crowds, but we were still trusting within AEW enough to get it right, but we just didn't know what version of right it was going to be. Their teasing of Kenny Omega in the way that they've done it has been close to that type of marketing, that kind of, we don't want to tell you it because we want you to be surprised, but we understand now that a wrestling surprise is different to what it used to be. Cynically, they want the number, they want the interest, they want the conversation, but they also know that the best experience is being 99% certain and 1% unsure.
Yeah.
Rather than being 100% certain, the 99% is better, because you need that little bit of doubt, because that plays in the anxiety. And then the pop when he returns isn't just a pop, it's relief as well. And it's like, it is everything I wanted. Like, there's a nervousness. Like, they've understood that in a way that I think almost no pro wrestling before that has, actually. Like, Tony Khan has spotted that as a lifelong fan. He's worked out how to replicate that feeling. And I think that's what the doubt exists for. There was one, understandably, wrestling fans, you know, WWE was the, as Triple H would say, the playbook for so many years. And I think we're all guilty of this from time to time. They're lining up a surprise that seemingly has this obvious payoff. It is understandable still, and it's going to be like this for years, why people would look for alternatives instead. Why this idea is like, well, no, Vince McMahon has spent all my life trolling me, so why would he not do that? Why would another wrestling I get it. I get it. I do, and I empathize. But, like, Brandon Cutler in a Kenny wig because he dressed up as Lita one time. Whatever. You know, you've seen all the fantasy booking things. They're all there on Twitter. But the one, and this was tweeted to me by @SasquatchPhoto, Devin Chomp, I believe. Sorry if I've butchered the pronunciation of his surname, but we've all seen him in our replies before. Regular listener. He said, what if Omega is a misdirect and their partner is a little more golden? And that leads us to the only suitable alternative to Kenny Omega, which is Kota Ibushi. The Young Bucks and Kota, of course, work the main event of All In. The Golden Elite can exist without Kenny Omega. And there's something, it's an extra layer of, not only did they not go for Kenny, went for Paige, they went for his golden lover in Kota Ibushi. That's an even cooler, like, I think it's going to be Kenny Omega, don't get me wrong. But that would be the literal only suitable alternative. The only one out there is Kota Ibushi.
It's literally the only one. Please, out there, don't want to think it's Marty Scurll, please, for God's bloody sake. You know what's interesting about the Kota Ibushi thing is that when Matt picked up the phone call to somebody, he used very vague words that could be spoken to both Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. Are you sure you're ready? Mm-hmm. Are you back? Because Kota Ibushi, lest we forget, is also in the recovery process from a really bad injury. So everything he said could just as easily work in a conversation with Ibushi and Omega. So there is that. Look, I do think it's going to be Kenny. Even if it isn't Kenny tonight, and there's this tiny, tiny, tiny possibility that it isn't, he's obviously going to come back because they have very deftly put into mind the idea to the audience that Kenny's going to come back, and this is not a company that jerks its audience around. The only other thing is that if they get someone else and it isn't Kota or it is Kota, and this might just be my incredulity at the existence of the Trustbusters, that they could be a smokescreen, they're not actually going to be in the tournament, that could be written out, and the Young Bucks and someone managed to piss off Kenny Omega, that he decides to get the band back together. And how great is it going to be when Kenny Omega and Hangman Page tag together again? Oh, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. But about, instead of the Trustbusters, Page, Omega, and someone. Don't know who that someone is, but there's something there potentially. It's going to be Kenny Omega, and it's going to be torturous until I realize he's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to watch this show and then immediately go on your Twitter.
Yeah.
First thing tomorrow morning. Is your concern, what is it, that Jose the assistant's going to look better than Kenny, or what is it? Is it just everything, sort of everything's possible right now?
Kenny Omega's done an absolutely phenomenal job of convincing me that he's thrashed.
Yes.
Yeah. Over the past, I don't know if he's candid or if he's just even cleverer than I thought, but the image I have in my mind, whether it's been curated by Omega or not, is of a guy who enjoyed a literally miraculous 2021. I know that the 2018 Dominion, the ideal image of Kenny Omega, is not going to come back. But if it was like a singles program, right? I should trust him.
Yes.
If it was like a singles program that he was coming back for, I'd be like, right, okay, he's obviously ready to do 30 minutes. That's Kenny Omega. The fact that he's coming back for a bespoke title that's essentially created to advance the next chapter or chapters of the Elite story so that he doesn't have to do as much makes me think, has he just decided he can't ever be the old Kenny Omega again, but he's found a storyline way of being a version of Kenny Omega that does 5 minutes in a match in total?
And yet, because it's Kenny and because it's the Elite, and looking at the layout of this bracket, he is effectively, potentially, even in that version where he's like, actually, this trios is kind of a best of both worlds because I can
still...
Like, the expectation on what could effectively be, their path to winning trios gold could be potentially five-star Meltzer-Bay Forbidden Door dream matches and then ultimate Elite melodrama with Paige and the Dark Order in the final.
That's something like, tremendous.
That would be the run if they win the trios
and
titles.
He's still building... If that run actually unfolds as we think it is, he's still building what will be at least a 30-minute match with Will Ospreay, which is going to be incredibly punishing. Lest we forget, it's nice to be a complete mark. I love being one. Lest we forget, CM Punk just completely worked us all into a shoot by hobbling around Comic-Con and like with his anguished face, and he's fine, he's hopping around on his foot. Kenny Omega's probably doing something similar. All of this is very naive, I think, but I don't care. I'm a wrestling fan when I want to be a wrestling fan, and I hope tonight I can be the most mawkish wrestling fan there is.
Maybe Omega's going to be like your other favourite wrestler, Bryan Danielson, where he might not always be 100% healthy, but he's 100% a person.
Yes.
And that's the main thing.
Two questions for you.
What?
Before we move on.
What?
Two questions. Any gear pitches?
So Omega's, the T-shirt, could come into perfect play tonight. Because we've been talking about...
He needs to save it for Ospreay.
Like, Omega's body is... This is not like a vanity thing or an aesthetics thing as much as it is a... What's going on with Kenny Omega? How, like, the T-shirt could be an inspired aesthetic choice tonight because it could hide anything, or it could be Kenny Omega's typical, I'll take the T-shirt off when I'm showing respect to the contest in front of me. And if he's fought his way in because he was second choice to Paige, he might be showing that as a mark of disrespect to the Bucks. I'll just leave my T-shirt on and not match them. Like, you remember when the Bucks teamed with John Moxley before Matt Jackson had his, oh, God, which way am I going to go? And they wore the camo. And then the following week, they were back in the Elite. I think it was the money gear or something.
They had the chandelier on the head and the Dior trainers.
Yeah. Like, they'd gone from, like, matching Moxley's tights and the camo to immediately like that now with this now. Like, Kenny, contrasting them on purpose. Maybe something that is a slight nod to the team with Paige. He's like, I think I'm more with him than I'm you two now, just as that, like, that first week. I'd quite like that, because it's stuff that, like, like Cedric points out, this is possibly all for naught when we just see this class trios match play out, but the Elite invite you to think of these potential details and these little wrinkles.
I do think gear-wise, something that will visually remove Omega from the Bucks, and what's the antithesis of the Bucks? Could wear something FTR inspired, very slyly. Oh.
Just like goes back to Trunks Omega for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, like he's got the black Trunks on, but he's got the B in the Elite logo, but it's in the FTR.
Yes. Front, yeah.
Now I know you're very, very excited, but also
scared.
A sensible father as well.
So excited, so scared, like Jesse Spano. Yeah.
But you're a different breed, you are. Is this going to be another serial late night gimmick?
Yeah, I think so. Like it's Kenny Omega's return, and it's a bizarre dynamite this. The problem is that I know for a fact I'll be electrified, what I assume will be the opener. It's looking like staying awake 2 or 3 in the morning. Like I need the excitement of the Omega thing to get you through what could be a difficult, long middle portion.
This dynamite, I've just realised now, is I think if it goes the way I think it's going to go, and one match certainly will, is going to be built around my two favourite wrestlers of all time, Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega, convincing me that they are going to die or get seriously injured or can't wrestle anymore or get concussions or literally fall apart at the seams. Ah, great. I can't wait for these. I love it when it's finished.
Yeah.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We'll talk a little bit about Bryan Danielson in a bit.
Yeah, you don't want to save the ass boys till last.
Yeah. So let's talk...
Sorry, the gun club. I'm not getting involved in that pattern.
I'm ready for this. I'm a gun club guy now.
Well, let's talk about them now, as we're talking about them now. Obviously, they lost to Beardhausen. And then Papa Gunn said he wants to toughen them up and give him another test, and it's the Varsity Blondes tonight.
Yeah. Is he booking it now, is Billy?
Christian's busy, so.
Yeah.
I cannot be arsed with the Varsity Blondes, but the point... So I'm going to stick up for the Gun Club a little bit here, but it's going to be a wider criticism of AEW. So I was... Because I was off, I was doing like a big catch-up of AEW, and well, of all wrestling... And
what was your favourite bit of the main event last week?
Well, apart from all of it?
Apart from the action?
I would probably have to say Chris Jericho's entrance. I love the tights. I love the music. I love the lion tamer vest. I love the crowd. I love the ringsiders.
Yeah.
Brought quality signs to the show. AW_1. Follow him on Twitter
Top
and
boy.
Check out the sign.
Travis, thank you again.
Oh, my God.
Travis, our creator. Travis, a creative genius.
You can't drop a new enunciation on us. There's no rehearsals.
That wasn't over the desks.
I don't know where that came from.
That was
mad, wasn't it, seeing that? Sorry to go off topic there.
Incredible. And like that, by the way, I know that's like, you see that quite a lot now, but like that design style was one of my favourite things for years. Like it's a t-shirt that will never fit me again, but on my honeymoon, I got one made that said... Scott and Halpert and Beasley and Shroot. And
don't worry, love. I've got a personalised T-shirt for the room. Oh, is it us two?
No. Yeah, actually it was romantic because we watched The Office together, actually. Like, back when we genuinely, like, properly 100% loved each other instead of just put up with it. It goes a long time.
Oh my God.
Like, she'd say the same. It's been 12 years. We're doing our best. Like, anyway. Yeah, I watched all this wrestling and got back on holiday and... I will say this for WWE and for Pepe, at least, like, there's not enough good wrestlers in WWE anymore. They fight too many of them. But, like, you know what everybody's up to? Everybody kind of has their place. The bloat in AEW is misunderstood, in my opinion. It's not about that there's too many wrestlers, because there should be this idea. Well, yeah, there is. But, like, there should be this idea that if you are awesome and a free agent and rock up on television and you're great... you get a job or you get used for like 6 weeks. That should exist. AEW should be here for stuff like that. The problem I find is that like they tell you, get into this guy and you have three amazing weeks. And I love you. Well, you're never going to see him again, so I hope you like that. It's quite a dissatisfying experience as a fan to get invested then just your favourite has disappeared for ages at a time. Or even people you're not that fussed about, it's like, right, fine, Samoa Joe. I'll invest in you then for a few weeks. And then it's like, yeah, he's not going to be on television until the pay-per-view and he's going to work a match you don't want to watch him in. What? Like, that's the problem with the bloat. It's the individual usage of all these people. The Gun Club, you might not think they're elite tier, top tier, mid tier.
I like them.
I like them, right? But I appreciate that, like, they're not going to be one of the max, the first ones that you think of if you name your dream roster or whatever. But the Gun Club's recent run, the Gun Club and the Acclaimed, quite an inspired way to turn the acclaimed babyface. Billy Gunn, genuinely funny, can't pick between his actual sons and these far more charismatic New Age Outlaws avatars. Like, that's quite inspired if you just break it down like that. They have their split. Billy Gunn, still booking his kids. Well, you're going to work a dumpster match. I could do that. And I was Billy Gunn. I mostly sucked, and I could do that and make this famous, so you're going to work that. He's now pissed off and ashamed that they lost that match and ruined this one, in his mind, brilliant idea that he had. And they're back on TV this week doing stuff. Like, they are a focused upon act that are being stuck with. So this Varsity Blondes thing, I've been told countless times to treat the Varsity Blondes as total scrubs. So now they're probably going to lose to the Varsity Blondes, and Billy Gunn's going to be thinking, what the hell am I supposed to do with you losers? And because it's AEW, that probably goes somewhere. Like, this amount of effort and continuation, it's more together and it's more joined up than so many things on AEW television right now.
I think people are completely missing the purpose of this match. Hamfler touched on it. I'm going to expand on it very slightly. The Varsity Blondes are geeks who get beat all the time, whose valet gets taken away from them, who can't even not slip off the ropes in the case of Pillman Jr. And that's why they're getting booked in this match, right? It's like a wooden spoon, isn't it? Mm. It's like it's called the wooden spoon in football.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's the... Who's the lesser of the worst teams, basically, or the slightly better. So it's a wooden spoon match. And Malcolm Bivens, if I recall correctly, last week sidled up to the Gun Club in a backstage segment as if to indicate that he's forming a stable, he's forming a collective, and he wants the Gun Club in it, which will be so obnoxious. It'll be so fabulous.
And he's kind of playing fixer with the people he's choosing as well, isn't he? Yeah. Ethan Page.
Ethan Page, Moriarty. So, like, yeah. So I think this exists for the exact reason that Hamflood said. The Varsity Blondes are going to win, and I really hope they are so cruel about it. Like, I want Tony Schiavone to go, oh, wow, really? Oh, well, I guess the Varsity Blondes have won. Oh, right, well done. And, like, just go all in. Justin Roberts goes, and your winners are the Varsity Blondes? Like, just geek them out. All the while, the Gun Club are incredulous. They're so embarrassed at losing to these people in totally, like, the rule of three. So Tony Schiavone can just very quickly go, oh, really? And then Justin Roberts can go, and the winner is Varsity Blondes. So it's like naive, a little bit more incredulous, and then the rule of three, Stokely Hathaway comes out, you're losing to these fucking assholes or something like that. And it all exists to gently advance the story they're telling out. If they are cruel here, I will be kind.
I completely agree. I think it's the right direction to go in, and I'm just excited to see Billy Gunn's reaction.
Have some fun at their expense, please.
This might contradict that long rant I did just trying to defend the Gun Club, but the problem with AEW remains. Like, the Acclaimed won the feud where they Acclaimed.
Yeah.
Like, so that becomes the issue. The other side of this coin is like, oh yeah, there is too many people, because even when you're telling the good loser story, it's now the winners that might just disappear off TV for a month when they should have all this building momentum, having turned face and won a big gimmick match.
Let's talk John Moxley, CM Punk, Sige.
I mean, yeah.
Like, not obviously nothing's been mentioned for this show, but it was kind of a big deal at the end of last week's show. The noise that greeted the return of CM Punk was deafening. The roof nearly came off the bloody place.
Absolutely. I think what we'll get here is a canny promotional tactic where there's a lot of interest in this episode. And just to really hammer it home, I think Tony Khan will drop a tweet 2 or 3 hours before showtime saying, we hear from Punk and or Moxley tonight. It's, oh, Jesus Christ. You know they're going to do something, but they're not going to announce it until later. I said this on the review last week. I should save it for the preview because I'm such a mark about it. But the Mega fans will forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
2011, I think it was, or 2012, CM Punk, famously ground to dust by the punishing and stupidly exhaustive WWE schedule, willingly volunteered to work John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, in FCW on his day off because he rated him so highly and just wanted to do it for the love of pro wrestling. When John Moxley was first doing dark spots ahead of WWE television, CM Punk famously tweeted an image of Ambrose walking to the ring pre-shield, tweeting, caption, our secret weapon. He then famously again pitched Dean Ambrose to be in the Shield. Fast forward certain years later, he gets asked CM Punk on Twitter who his favourite member of the Shield was. Oh, Roman. He says on the promo where he's the guy, the ostensible face of AEW, right, John has to go to rehab. I know everyone's expecting me to bury him because of things I've said in the past, but I'm not going to do that. John Moxley deserves all of our support. Please chant his name. In the midst of that promo, he says something to the effect of, you know, me and John aren't super tight. And I'm thinking, hang on, because you were his biggest supporter back when he was in developmental. What happened to that relationship? Will they explore it in this program? I'm fascinated by how things went from point A to point Z there. And if they don't touch upon that, they are going to do something incredible regardless. It's just, it feels massive. It feels so compelling. It's just literally conflict out the ass. Because the actual fight they have is going to be great. My actual conflicted feelings on their fight is going to be incredible. I want this to happen, like, tonight. That's how hyped I am for this.
You said, I'm not sure if you mentioned this on a podcast or we were just talking about in the office, you made a really interesting point about how Punk now appears to be the challenger.
Yeah, I thought last week, I'm going to go all over the shop here because I love all of this. Big picture, small picture, it's all fantastic. I thought last week, everybody, top to bottom within AEW, did a brilliant job of like kind of falling either side of the divide over what exactly an interim title is. This is absolutely not Sammy Guevara wearing two belts, and you of all people, Wilbon, should be most happy about that. This is a philosophical war. John Moxley cut that promo, like that canny pissed off promo. It's not the first one where he's referenced the fact that he doesn't particularly like reference the word interim. And when he's not said it overtly, he's kind of implied it. Like, he's got a belt over his shoulder. He's had it before, and you know what it means, and you know what it represents. And you can come and take it off me if you think that I'm just an interim champion. That was to Chris Jericho, but it was to everybody, and it was foreshadowing that it was to CM Punk. So he's got this belt. Jim Ross on commentary. I know he's typically disdainful of everything because he's a miserable bastard, but he makes a point a few times to, like, disavow this interim term. John Moxley is a goddamn world heavyweight champion. It's like tweeting Jeremy Corbyn as the prime minister. Like, something can be a thing if you really believe it, you know? John Moxley is the AEW world champion. He's not the interim. What's an interim belt anyway? Excalibur, kind of on the other side of that divide when Punk comes out, is big on the sort of... Now, remember, he's the world champion. He's not come out with a belt to do the John Cena CM Punk face-off. He's come out as he is to take that belt back, take it out of John Moxley's hands, take it out of the clutch. Because if he comes out with a belt of his own and John Moxley's cradling that, that ruins John Moxley's credibility. What's he cradling if Punk's got the real belt? Like, it's not just a figurative representation. It's the literal strap itself. So I hope they keep to one belt, and I hope this feels like a title fight, not a settling of a situation between interim champions, which is fantastic, which is actually how it should be. The two belts hanging in the ladder match was a nice callback to Shawn and Razor, but this is different, and they're serious, heavyweight champion wrestlers. So I love that.
And am I right in thinking there's only... what, 2.5 weeks till All Out? Is that right?
That'd be...
So how many Dynamites?
Two more after this. Yeah. I think that's the case, isn't it?
They don't need it.
No, it's a lovely amount of time. Like, it's a huge... As you could see when you saw them next to each other. But there's two areas I really want them to go to here. One's small and a bit of fun, and one is much bigger. The small one is just a bit of fun, but it's a nice character moment between the two, which is Moxley saying something to the effect of, you know... my wife loves you, but I think you're a total arsehole, and you f***ed yourself against me last time. It's going to be even worse when we fight it all out. Go to both of those things, right? CM Punk and Renee, best mates. Renee talked to him at going to WWE for, I work for Fox. No, you were working for WWE and Renee got you there, like, because you trusted her. This can work, right? And that's all out there. Moxley can create that perfect divide. Like, even at home, we disagree on you. Like, I know you. I think you're a bit of a snake. She loves you. I don't get it, right? What's brilliant about that is that look at the patterns that are starting to emerge. Eddie Kingston, Hangman Page, John Moxley. Are there three bigger AEW Homer baby faces than those three guys? And those are the three that don't trust CM Punk. Like, what is this? What massive story is this telling about that he is, when he turns, and we know one day he's going to turn, that he was the snake after all. He can be this perfect situational. Like, I always think about that, like, line, that brilliant line. His delivery was amazing, like, against MJF. Like, I look in the mirror and I'm trying. But when he says, I've tried, and I'm not. I'm the worst guy. And Kingston told you, and Hangman told you, and Moxley told you. Because who else, like, when we talk about pillars and people like that, they're foundational guys. foundational good men, and they can see it in CM Punk. So I love that from like a bigger picture point of view. And yet, it's going to be in Chicago, and it's going to be CM Punk fighting for what he hasn't lost. So, like, at some point, Punk's got to take a bit of a knock to the foot, and then Moxley's got to work it and twist it and pull it like a boppet, and just, like, turn himself heel for the night for it to make the most sense. Maybe not. Maybe they'll play with the crowds, but to me, Punk's got to, like, maybe run out and help him yet again and then knock it. Or Kingston can't be held back and just, like, ever slightly sticks a dig in one of those mass brawls or something where Punk makes the save. Just within the next 2.5 weeks, you start working on, like, Moxley's like, I know that's not 100%. And if you think, and you'd have to think, I'm not going to target it every, like, you need to be training that foot more than anything because I'm going to snap it clean off at the pay-per-view.
This is brilliant.
This is absolutely brilliant.
It's going to be a hell of a weekend. Yeah. Now, of course, it's a big night, as I say, a big night for returns, but it's also a big night because it's a night that we have every Wednesday. Michael Sidgwick.
Because this is ladies' night and I'm thinking no word in there.
You know what that means.
It's time to play the game!
And that is... Well, it's Tony Storm versus Karrion King. Also, just to point out, it's the first time I've had a chance to speak about this on podcast. What a devastating injury.
Oh, God damn it. And I hate it. I've been campaigning, pissing in the wind to get Chris Statlander. The spot... Turns out I should have let it play out because the original plan was for her to win the title off Jade at Grand Slam. Ugh. Not happening because she's had the absolute worst luck and I'm sick about it.
Have you watched Road 2 yet? There's the last sort of 3 minutes is her just basically saying, I did this big boot and it's a good knee. Obviously, it makes sense because obviously she should have been putting more weight on it because of the previous injuries and blah, blah, blah. And just the grim acceptance of it of like, well, 6 months, there it is.
Happened with Tegan Nox the same way, didn't it? Like both legs, because she was kind of a bit worried about the first one. Ah, it's just injuries happen in wrestling, and what's so strange is like the whole thing becomes normalised. That every now and then we say, oh, it's quite nice for this person to be getting a bit of a break off television. They can recover properly, come back, and wrestling's great. It's a gift in a sense because you come back, and then sometimes it's the worst.
Yeah,
it's their absolute awful timing. Worst. Like she's been on a great run. The division needed her well, and like she'll be very, very missed.
But in the place, Tony Storm is now the seemingly number one contender for Thunder Rosa's title. She's facing Karrion King tonight. Seems straightforward, this Sidge. But I suppose, what do you reckon of it? And what time will we hear, I'm going to say, Tony Storm's music, for example?
Yeah, because I think Karrion King will already be in the ring. This is just so bog standard. Obligatory stuff yet again, hence why we play the game, which is obviously called, well, this is ladies' night, I'm thinking so nowhere in there. Plenty of time for the men, come on. We need plenty of time for the men.
That main event, yeah.
Provided another match doesn't get added and Danielson Garcia goes ages in the opener. God damn it, give me all the wrestling you got, baby. Yeah. 35 minutes, and the ass boys out the way, and then the women. I've got to book the women. 1 hour. 14 minutes. And 8 seconds.
Do you know what happened the week she went here, by the way? It was absolutely spectacular.
Why am I losing?
Well, you're losing because you left, and you left me fighting... the journeyman fighter who can't buy a win. So you're not here. Michael Hanford, out of nowhere, pulls a Hail Mary on the first Dynamite you're not here for and goes, you know what? I think tonight's the night. I think the women open Dynamite. And I go, okay, I'll take like an hour and 15 because that gives me literally the majority of the show. We all know where they land. W for Wilborn, obviously. The week after, he goes, all right, I've learned from my mistake, and it's going to go on pretty late, 1 hour 30 or something like that. And I go, all right, 1 hour 20. And they go in the first hour for the first time seemingly ever.
Yeah.
So if he'd have done that, he'd have found his O's still there. He's still completely winless.
Nah, not this week. Breaking the streak this week.
Oh, here we go.
What did I actually say? I'm writing it down.
1:14:08. Yeah, something like that. Let's go with it. We'll stick with that now, yeah.
Popping the cherry this week. B plates are coming off. Nailed it. Can't believe Sidra didn't think of it, quite frankly. Tony time. I wouldn't really do that. I'll go with...
Rusev Day.
I'll go with 1 hour and 122 and 10 seconds.
Ooh.
I don't know where the seconds have come from, but I'll just say 122.
I will go.
That feels late now I've said it.
Well, you say 1 hour 22.
I'll stick with it now because I don't want to go back in it. I'm doubting it already.
I was thinking 1 hour 18. I'll go 1 hour 18, 16.
Not that I've ever been in the winner's circle, so it shouldn't really matter. Is there like Price is Right rules in place here? You know where you can't go a penny over on a Price is Right?
I know, none of that.
Is it just
bollocks.
Closest to it?
Just closest, okay. Closest right. to the hole.
Closest to it, mate.
Yeah.
I will, whilst I check on this.
Close to it, I can't get anywhere near it.
Shout out to Adam Blair, at Adam Wilton 4 on Twitter, who's the guy keeping us up to date and make sure I can actually remember this. Just to update you on the scores. I suppose Andy Murray is 0-2. But he's a less regular contributor. Currently, Michael Sidgwick, 3-3. Michael Hamflet, 0-5.
With the fives.
King of the Mike and the Kazoo, 5-2.
Wow.
So it's very close, except for Michael Hamflet. A straightforward win for Tony here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking on commentary, maybe sort of negging her a little bit.
Well, what the hell was that promo last week? Are they
you
leaning?
See Thunderosa's face?
Yes, I did.
Yes, thank you.
What the hell was that? So, did you see this?
I did see this. Yeah.
So the shot opens with the two of them in the usual interruption spot, and Thunderosa is grinning like that time Bret Hart came out sad on Thunder. Like, well, I hate all of this. Like, is she? And then following on from the sandbagging T-shirt, is this a gimmick? And she's turning heel because, like, they've sort of decided that maybe. Well, I've gone out of...
They might
now.
As well turn a heel.
Like, people... A lot of people have already, like, fallen out with her philosophically, even if that sandbagging thing is
she
not...
She used to get the hottest reactions when they returned. When they returned last year, they did Texas and hit that hard early. She was so over.
And people were just... had been waiting pretty much since the original match for the Britt Baker payoff and all of that, and they kind of waited too long. And a lot of that is on AEW, I think. But have they just sort of decided, they being AEW, that Toni Storm is the more natural babyface, and second time around, she's going to get it right and beat her, and thought, well, time to lean into her. Thunder Rosa being the cocky, arrogant champion. Because that face she was pulling was so distracting. And the promo wasn't even good between the two. It wasn't like once you got on to concentrate on them, they were...
I couldn't tell whether she was just being told or advised, look, everyone's kind of thinking at this point, you're kind of unprofessional and visibly miserable. And she's trying to overcompensate, or whether the character was conveying a sense of... She was overcompensating for how kind of scared she was of the imminent challenge posed by Toni Storm. And she was pretending, oh, we're friends and everything's going to be okay. But deep down, I'm trying to mask it. So I don't know if it was a bad version of a performance or if she just needs to turn heel and be professional.
Because they did this is not a direction, because obviously them losing to Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter came as a result of a miscommunication. Toni Storm was doing the over and over again, and at the last second she hit.
Thunder Rosa needs to turn heel yesterday.
Well, yeah, a little bit of it though. That promo last week, like all of this, and this, if she turns heel and turns heel as this unprofessional thing, it feels a bit off, doesn't it? I don't know, like...
Some of it's her fault. Some of it's AEW's fault.
There's something not on about that.
It just feels like a bad relationship from the outside looking in.
And if it's not a bad one, and it's a fine one, don't do this story. I think it's a strange story. I'm not sure that you would get this with everybody. Yeah. I don't think you would treat your main event champions like this. No. Like on professional backstage, and this is who they're going to be as a character now. I don't know. Feels a bit weird.
Have you all got Toni Storm for this one?
Yeah.
I just found this feeling a little rat.
Let's conclude then by talking about a 2 out of 3 falls match, which you assume opens the show.
Yeah. Yes, I think the idea is long matches draw. Really long matches genuinely increase or stabilize viewership because people are wanting to see the conclusion. Live matches draw. Drop this in, give them loads of time, and then drop the idea that the Young Bucks mystery partner is going to be revealed in the main event. That would be my strategy. I know there's kind of a new version of a strategy in AEW in 2022 because the Big Bang Theory lead-in is so enormous to do all your main event business first, but don't do that. They've stopped experimenting with that, I think. So,
I think my main concern with this is, obviously, it's House of the Dragon, American Dragon, Dragon Slayer, blah, blah, blah. Will anyone know who this timekeeper guy is? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat? I mean,
I don't know if casual fans
will know. I'm like, what's this theme? Who's this guy? Like, I don't get it. You know, is he from Game
he's
of Thrones?
He's not Zach Clayton, is he? Do you know what I mean? Like, come on.
It's not been specified. I assume he's timekeeper specifically for this, considering his dragon stuff. And
oh my God, somebody's going to try and crush his throat with a bell. And then he's going to breathe, shoot fire in the face. Because Jericho's a wizard, but he's a dragon. Oh my God, fire battle.
There'll be an interaction between Steamboat and Jericho on the show.
Yeah.
100%.
It's all kinds of LTST, isn't it? There's the picture of them as a fan, there's the WWE stuff.
Yeah. They don't miss a trick this lot, so definitely. Actually, I'll tell you what, they did miss a trick once. Remember when there's a spoiler, one of the few spoilers that got out during the pandemic, and they're like, you know, Bischoff's going to be on AEW Dynamite. I didn't want to read it. I was like, no, never going to happen. He actually was. Mm-hmm. I had the best idea. For the Bischoff character, can you remember this? See this? Remember this? Instead of my idea,
to re-listen to this. Come on, Acast, find the archive.
Instead of my great idea, they actually positioned Eric Bischoff as this sort of like avuncular wrestling old head. He was like a baby face. It's like so boring and crap in it.
You're an asshole. I like Orange Cassidy now. No, you don't. Why are you lying?
Such a boring bastard in AEW. No wonder. No one really liked it. So no wonder he's an absolute bitter troll about it now. You know how. He was on AEW television the year after he was sacked from AEW, from WWE, for doing absolutely nout. He's famously very lazy. He's like, I don't even know what he's doing.
I related to him, though, because he apparently, would go for multiple plates at the buffet. And I was like, oh, my God.
He just went there, multiple plates at the buffet. Just didn't really do much. Just went home early. He's just left after 2 months. It was a disaster of a run.
Legend stuff.
And he came in to do something with Cassidy, Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho was part of their program. I was so desperate because I don't miss a trick with these cute gags. I just wanted so desperately Eric Bischoff to play the heel, the delusional heel, and turn around to Orange Cassidy and say, you know, Orange, I don't understand the mentality of people like you. How can you turn up to a job and be so lazy? You know what I mean? Yeah. I wrote itself, or at least I wrote it.
Yeah, that's a great shout.
Wasn't anyway. It like a wordy Jericho bit instead, where Bischoff had to remember 15 catchphrases of what Jericho was or something like that.
It was something like, it was piss poor and very tedious, but can we talk about Danielson Garcia?
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be terrifying. It's going to be absolutely terrifying. They're probably going to do the trick because this particular story lends itself well to it where Danielson is the babyface. He's going to win the first fall in a fair fight. And then Garcia is going to possibly DQ his way into, that wouldn't work. You know the way it goes. But then when he's sacrificed the first fall, he's going to just keep bludgeoning his head with forearms and you're going to get a more intense sequel to that horrifying strand of storytelling they did in their match the other week. And it's going to be horrible. And then Danielson, in that moment, in that third fall, because he's the dragon, because he's genius, is going to make you think it is real. Obviously, he's going to run off the ropes. No one will ever do that in a real fight. It doesn't matter. It's going to feel real. It's going to feel terrifying. And it's going to make you want him to fight back. These guys are so gifted technically. Obviously, Daniel is one of the best of all time, if not the best, in terms of pure technical wrestling. This goes 30 minutes. They're going to cycle through modes of style and action and tone. They're going to really want to have a pissing contest as a technical wrestling match, then Garcia is just going to want to kill him to get that fall, and then, my God, it's going to be absolutely sensational. This literally can't fail. This is the kind of match where if it goes 4 stars, it'll be a disappointment.
Yeah.
I don't have much to add in terms of the quality of the match, because it's so assured as well, as you say, which is a nice feeling.
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling to go into a match thinking like that. I want, what I really want at the end of this, Danielson, a few weeks ago, and he said it other times as well, but it was interesting that it came back around now ahead of this, that he said, one of the reasons I wanted to go to AEW, I wanted to bleed. I wanted to go to AEW and I wanted to bleed. Those were his exact words.
That's how you intensify it.
Yeah. I think tonight they bleed together, as is the credo of the Blackpool Combat Club. Danielson wins, but the wins and losses don't matter because we saw that with Moxley and Yuta. It's about bleeding together. And he said he verbalized it on Rampage anyway. You were my first guy and I can't have you. So it's already out there. And then there's the beatdown or whatever. And Jericho let's get out of here, Garcia. And then they go together. But Garcia is doing the look back over the shoulder after Jericho's decked Danielson to set up their own match at All Out. And not that it's going to be like Garcia's going to make a choice at the pay-per-view, but it's going to be the first overt tease that the guy that should have been on the other side of the fence all along mm-hmm. might be getting teased in that direction. And it's nicely done. And it's one of them things where, like, it's in The Office, isn't it, where you got, like, Michael and Toby and Dwight, and it's like, win, win, win. Like, win, win, win. Because Danielson gets to bleed. Garcia gets this potentially transcendent feud and moment.
Is that Michael, more. Oscar, and...
Is it Michael, Oscar, and Toby? Because as the mediator, he's got to get a win as well.
It's Michael, Oscar, and... it's the blonde, uptight Christian...
Angela.
Because it's the picture of the...
That's the win. And Jericho gets his win because somehow his carnage is winning Brian Danielson at a pay-per-view. And the other opportunity. Hey, is Chris Jericho having one of the best years of his career? Well, yeah, he took Germans off Eddie Kingston. He worked Anarchy in the Arena. John Moxley in the form of his life. Danielson. Hey, Jericho's the common denominator. Le Champion is back.
He's so clever.
He's a smart guy.
Either that or if... Yeah, you want to do something else with Danielson? I'm sure he can work Steamboat or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, the tag. Danielson and Steamboat versus Jericho and Garcia as the setup to the Jericho-Danielson singles. Yes, please.
Only thing I'd add, two things. And it's for our boys, obviously. You two have fantasy booked this.
Sorry, birth, Dragon works that by that. It's so funny because he refused to work Ric Flair's last match. I've not. No.
But the only two things I'd add to improve this from your brilliant booking there. Number one. Have Daddy Magic on commentary. If you haven't seen the compilation of him from, I think, Dark or Dark Elevation. What's the deal with the price of eggs these days, huh? She got something to do with this? Because it's like Free Range or something she was called, wasn't she?
There is a growing trend as well where people have started, you know, when like you've got the Jericho Appreciation Society interview so they can do the Anna Jay choke gag.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody zooms in on Daddy Magic's face the whole way through the promo. So it's worth going back and watching all these promos, but only staring at him zoomed in. So you're just watching his eyes and his reaction shots to things you can hear but can't see.
And my other addition, if you're not going to have the ring bell gimmick, Cool Hand Ange, Flick Combs, Ricky Dragon Streamboat who melts his comb or something. I don't know. Something along those lines. Hey, Ricky. Should you call it down the middle? You can hear. Wait, okay, well, it's just a comb. I don't know, he sets it on fire.
Holds it to his neck.
Sets it off. Yeah,
comb.
I'm buzzing. I might stay up and watch it now.
Yeah.
Magic spoon. Corporate synergy. If Tony Khan can do it, so can we.
Indeed. A very exciting Dynamite to look forward to. Also, completely terrified, as you say, for a variety of different reasons. But let us know your thoughts on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Watch so you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW, the brilliant book by Michael Sidgwick, still available right now on Amazon. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including, of course, our review of this show as soon as it is released tomorrow. If you subscribe, it'll just drop straight into your feed. But for now, this has been the AEW Dynamite House of the Dragon preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.